Hi, and welcome to Pure Pod. I'm your host, Arielle Alexa, and if you love makeup, skincare, and all things beauty, you, my friend, are in the right place. Join me on this journey as I talk about everything from skincare rituals and trends to the products that we love with some pretty amazing people in the industry. I'm so happy that you're here, so sit back, relax, and enjoy. Everyone, and welcome back to Pure Pod. We are on episode number 3, and I'm so excited for us to be here again. If you missed out on the first 2 episodes, please go back and listen. I'm Arielle, so excited to be here, if you could not tell. Each week, I'll be delving into the world of clean beauty with a new and exciting guest, from beauty trends and skincare tips to the products that we know and we love. No topic is off limits. Please stick around and get to know us. As usual, we have lots of amazing things in store for you. Today is a very special episode. I'm joined by Mr. Richard Kostick, who is the CEO and co-founder of 100% Pure. And we will be talking all things 100% Pure, all things clean beauty. So I can't wait to get into this. Welcome. Please introduce yourself. What I would actually love to know is more about your own personal journey into wellness, how that inspired you to create the wonderful brand that is 100% Pure.
Thank you, Ariel. I appreciate it. I'm excited to be here and so excited to have you host the podcast because you're such a great host. And I'm glad we finally Pure Pod together and launching this great podcast for the industry so that consumers can learn more about behind the scenes of their favorite brands and retailers and even suppliers, ingredients, everything. I'm super excited for your future episodes. To give you a little history on myself, so I'm Richard Kostick. I co-founded 100% Pure, the brand, in 2004. It's been quite a journey, almost 20 years now, with Susie Wang and her brother, James Wang. There's an inflection point when I met Susie, and I'm going to take you back in history a little bit before about what got me to that point. My background was not chemistry, it was actually programming. I was attending UC Berkeley as a programmer and I needed to make money on the side. So I did IT consulting to earn some money making websites. This is the late 90s. And I'm making websites for a really upscale, probably the most upscale hair salon in San Francisco. And the owner would always talk about products for teenagers. And I said, well, look, teenagers are browsing on the web. We can come up with some products and we can put them on this website that I created for you and sell through there and target the teenagers. So we came up with like 5 fun shampoos and conditioners. We called the line named after him, Falou. We had bubble gum and licorice flavor and really cool packaging that still today sits in the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art. It's still there, created by artist Yves Bihar, who was less well-known then. He's gone on to do some incredible things since then. At that time, we didn't really know too much about formulations and what's in the products. I worked with the chemist at that time, and there's all these weird ingredients going into the product, these long chemical names. And I'm like, what is that? And I'd grill the chemist on what these things are. And he asked me at one point, he said, what are you, a lawyer? You're asking me like a lawyer about these ingredients. He says, why do people really care about this? I just want to tell the stories about what's behind the ingredients in the product. And it would be like this long chemical name. I can't even remember. Be like, oh, that's a conditioning agent, helps make the hair more full, give it more volume. You know, everything had a function, but we didn't think about, is it really good for the body back then? That brought me a few years after doing this, and Sephora picked up the line back then and Nordstrom's picked up the line department store. And I saw an article. My dad gave me this article in Forbes. And it had Susie's picture on there. It was a half-page profile on Susie Wang saying this could be the next Estee Lauder. She was also attending UC Berkeley, and it mentioned that her customers were Sephora and Nordstrom's, the same customers that I had. I thought, oh, this is interesting. My dad asked if I knew her. I said, I didn't. And I just tried to reach out to her to get in contact with her. I thought it'd be nice to meet someone who's doing a similar thing because we'd have stories and experiences we could share. I finally get in contact with her. It took me a while to get her to respond, to get in touch with her. And when we did, we started meeting up and talking about ingredients and things in products. And the fact that she's not a formally trained chemist, but she is so read up and so trained over the years. She's been formulating since she was a little child. making products. So she knows more than any formally trained chemist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. So we would talk about formulas and she would tell me things how this formula dropped on the lab table and it worked the lab table, this ingredient. And at the time she was formulating for some big companies. They were contracting her out. She had her brand, but they loved her brand so much, they also contracted and licensed formulas from her. They wanted to tie her down in a contract. I actually advised her. I said, Susie, look, we can actually do this ourselves. We can launch something really healthy and good for people that will improve people's lives. You know, if you tie yourself down in a contract with these big companies, they're not going to use your formulas exactly. They're not going to follow what you really want, what you're passionate about. They're going to take your formula and they're going to add things to it or switch it up at the end of the day by the time it gets to the market because they have different goals. You know, they need to make their shareholders happy. Our goal is to improve people's lives. It's in our mission. Susie, James, and I, we got together. We wrote our mission. Our mission is to improve billions of people and animals' lives. Animals are very dear to us as well, especially to Susie. That was very important to her because the industry has notoriously abused animals. It's gotten much better. One of us came up with the name 100% Pure. We just made some products out of our home. That's how we launched it. We actually tried to use other laboratories. The industry is full of products made from the same laboratories. This is typically how it's done in the cosmetics industry. When we were starting out as kids in our early 20s, we went to these labs saying, can you make us these products? These are the way we want you to make it using these natural ingredients. And they said, that's going to be really difficult to make, really expensive. Do people really care what's in it? Why don't you make it the traditional way? You can get a price down and it will be more stable and it'll be faster and you guys will be off to the races. We said, no, we can't do that. That's the whole point of our existence is making products that are better for people. We went home and it just dawned on us, we know how to make this stuff. Why don't we just buy the ingredients? And that's where I got really good at sourcing ingredients globally for our products. We actually would go down to the San Francisco Co-op, a co-op supermarket that would sell bulk natural organic ingredients. Rainbow Grocery is the name. They're actually a customer today. We would buy ingredients from them to put into our products. So we would buy our ingredients locally from farmers markets, co-ops, and also order online for things we couldn't find and source them, you know, around. Usually it's all US-based, some Europe-based, and some South America-based ingredients to go into the products. And we just made them out of our home to start, just skincare.
I think that's incredible that, you know, you guys had your vision, stuck with it. And that kind of brings me into my next question, because you mentioned, you know, you went to the labs and they said, why don't you just create it this way? And you guys said, no. Speaking from my perspective, at least from what I've seen in the past few years, clean, natural, and organic beauty, it's like in its boom right now. It's everywhere. Me included, as a woman, I may not have ever really considered the types of products and ingredients that I'm using, whether they're even safe for me. But I feel like now on a much wider scale, woman in general, we're a lot more mindful and intentional about the products we use, whether they're safe for us and if they're safe for the environment. And as you mentioned, and as I know as well, creating safe and sustainable products that are also environmentally responsible has been one of 100% Pure's values from inception. On to my question. Very curious to know how those values were received and your messaging was received when you guys first started. Did your audience actually understand the value of clean beauty, or did it take some convincing? Like, were there any challenges that you guys experienced in the beginning from that aspect?
What a great question, because significant roadblocks to us. When we would sell back then, online was just emerging. Not much e-commerce was online at the time. Go back to 15 years to 2005. Traditional ways you partner with retailers who resell your products, whether it's like Sephora or Sephora competitors, Ulta department store. Department stores back then were the big thing, although we knew they were going away to Sephora. When we would talk to the buyers about our value proposition, what do we offer that others didn't, was we have formulas that are good for you, not toxic. Not bad for you. The current formulas on the market, there's a lot of ingredients in them that are bad for you, not good for the body. We were told across the industry, there wasn't a single person that actually embraced this, that was in a buying position that we approached. We were told, you can't sell that messaging. You can't put down other brands to get your message across. And unfortunately, when you have making something that's better for you, that's healthier, and you're using different ingredients, that's what's on the market, it's important for people to know that a lot of the other stuff out there is not good for you. Otherwise, they just think it's an alternative. They don't realize, like, this is actually going to improve my health, improve my long-term health of healthy living. That was a major, major roadblock. We somehow convinced QVC Home Shopping to launch the brand, but not on that value proposition. They also wouldn't let us speak that value proposition. We're very innovative with formulas. And Susie invented the fruit pigmented makeup, using fruit pigments into makeup because she saw how blackberries would stain her fingers when she was picking blackberries. And that's when QVC took us on in 2006. QVC is a home shopping retailer back in the days when everyone's watching TV. They would be the channel selling through TV. I know a lot of things have moved to digital nowadays and social. Mm-hmm. And that was a big break for us. They took us on that. We had a lot of challenges telling the unique value proposition because we weren't allowed to say that any ingredient was bad for you. We weren't if it was in another product. That was a major, major hurdle that has now changed.
Yeah, I was actually going to say, when did you notice that starting to change where it became more widely accepted?
I would say in the last 10 years, it's been changing. A lot of it has just been other brands emerging in the market. We're working together. I always feel like other brands are not so much competitors as we're creating the space together. The more brands, the bigger the space can grow and the better we can fulfill our mission as well. Rise of other entrants and kind of a mind shift. I can't pinpoint exactly what inflection point there.
You mentioned other brands, you know, coming into this space. What do you think about other beauty brands out there who also use the words clean and natural when describing their products, when in fact they may not necessarily be?
There's two things going on with clean and natural. One is there's no common definition. So anyone can make their own definition of clean. You'll see clean at this retailer, usually like retailers, they like to do their own lines and they like to create certification programs for the brands and certain selection criteria for the brands they let in. But they are creating that based on their own definition of clean. They tell the consumer, oh, it's clean by us. And so it's your trust you put into that retailers. And some retailers are better than others. Mm-hmm. And brands will do the same thing. They'll say, we're clean by our definition. They won't say by our definition, but they'll say we're clean, but it's by their definition. Mm-hmm. So you can't really trust that. You have to do your homework and really research the ingredients and what they're using in the products. From our perspective, from 100% Pure's perspective, we're trying to educate. That's core to our mission too, is to educate. And that's why we put out a lot of communication and we're working on some guides and FAQs and ingredient dictionaries, educate our consumers more. And especially through email, we do a lot of that education and through a lot of the blogs that we write. We have quite a large blog site. If anyone hasn't checked it out, please check out our blog site.
It's extremely informative. I myself have learned so much that I would not have even expected to know about ingredients, about formulations, you know, about 100% Pure's processes. It's actually really, really valuable information. If you're listening, head over to our blog. There are some really, really fantastic articles that will make you love 100% Pure even more than you already do.
We put a lot of effort on that to educate. That's big. And then natural has gone another path. Well, a lot of brands try to avoid. You have to be very careful how you use the word natural because there is no definition of it, no formal definition. There is no legislation on it. That means that lawsuits will abound in the U.S. The U.S. is a very litigious place. So there's lawsuits that happen towards brands that say, you're marketing this as natural, yet my client doesn't view that as natural, my client's definition.
Right.
You open yourself up for lawsuits. So a lot of brands, they try to really tiptoe around the word natural. We have our definition of natural, and we try to educate on what that means. And we also use natural ingredients and a lot of naturally derived ingredients. We try to educate on the difference there too.
Okay, great. Thank you for that information. So 100% Pure has been operating for over 15 years, which that in itself is a huge feat. I'm sure there have been many highs and many lows, but we're all about positivity here. So I want to hear about at least one high. What was one moment where you stopped and you realized, wow, we're really making a difference here, or we're really impacting people's lives for the better with our work? It can be a known award or a testimonial from a customer. We'd love to hear from your perspective. What was that moment where you were like, oh my gosh, this is amazing?
There were a few moments. I think one was we were up for an industry award with CW, which is our kind of the industry group, cosmetic executive woman. And it was the sustainability award for the year. It's given to one company. And we went through a series of interviews, wrote up our reports about how sustainable we are as a brand, and flying out to New York to be in a room of the head mucky mucks of every beauty company out there at the award ceremony. We ended up getting the runner up to a big giant corporation with billions of dollars, which for us being so tiny at the time, that really meant
that's incredible.
A lot. The fact that, okay, we're making a difference because we make a difference in people's lives. We want to improve people's health, but we want to do it in a sustainable fashion. So sustainability is such a large part of the brand experience as well. And we do a lot towards that effort, and getting recognized as even runner up meant a lot to us and meant, okay, we're making inroads on our mission here.
That's amazing. Beauty and skincare, and even clean beauty and skincare in general, have always been marketed towards a female consumer base. But men need skincare too. They need to take care of themselves. So what advice would you give to any of our male listeners about changing their perceptions of beauty products, including skincare and makeup? And as a bonus, we want to hear what your 100% pure skincare routine is.
All right. So for male listeners and also female listeners, if you have men in your lives, if you look globally, there are pockets within our world where men use a lot of skincare. I think like Korea is one, a lot of countries in Asia. The US, they're moving more and more towards more men are using skincare. It used to be, you ask men what skincare you use and they say, I use a bar of soap. And that was it. And they're proud of the fact that that's all they
use. Yes.
But I think that's gone to the wayside for the most part. And now it's like a lot of men use moisturizer, which is the first step in. Aftershave and shaving cream is skincare. So men should also be hip to what ingredients are in your shaving cream, what ingredients are in your aftershave. And if you're already doing those two steps on your skincare routine, why not add in a moisturizer and a nighttime routine to keep yourself looking at your best and healthiest?
Nice.
And as far as, and Noriel, to answer your question on my skincare routine. So I change it up here and there, depending on what newness we're working on. I'm a little bit spoiled because I have the lab here in our manufacturing. So we're manufacturing products as well. I use our Pacucci oil once or twice a week. I do skincare at night, but I also do skincare in the shower. So after I shower, because I like to have a clean face and clean hands when applying skincare. So I actually have a set on my counter. So I will always use some sort of oil after a shower, whether it's like the Pacucci oil, I'll use that twice a week. If I'm not using the Pacucci oil, sometimes I'll use our Superfruits oil. And sometimes I just try one of like Susie's blends that she's making. She'll make something specific that she wants to test out. And so I use a lot of test products too. So the oil is really good. And of course I use our cleansers as well. And my cleansers change up. I like to just change up my cleanser. I know some people don't because their skin will react to mine. I have sensitive skin, but for 100% pure cleansers, we always have innovation in cleansers. So I'm always trying a new cleanser. I have a Virgin Coconut cleanser on my desk. I plan to take home and start to use.
Test it out. That's incredible. So for everyone that's listening, he does not just use a bar of soap, but he has a great skincare routine. Take notes, ladies, get on 100% pure. Buy it for your male friends and male guys in your life.
One more thing to that too, because I don't want to compare the categories. That's good for skincare, but also of course, I use our body wash. I like to scrub sometimes. It's fun to scrub. And I also use our hair care. So one of our top products is our Rosemary Grow Serum. This is a new product we recently launched. And so I like to use that with like a brush, that an exfoliating brush, which we don't sell the tools, but if you use that with, you can find them on the market, an exfoliating brush to really get it in the hair. And for men, hair loss is a big concern for most men out there.
Rosemary is a fantastic ingredient for hair growth. And we'll include any products that we mention, we'll include them in the show notes, along with blogs, if you guys want to learn some more information about some of the products that we have spoken about. So you mentioned a few times, and I know this as well, that 100% Pure has been an innovator in the beauty industry for a lot of years. You guys have created many cult favorites that are holy grails in a lot of your customers' skincare routines, including myself. I'm talking about the Coffee Bean Caffeine Eye Cream. If you haven't used it, add it to your beauty arsenal. You need it. So my question for you is, how do you all stay inspired to consistently create these amazing products and, you know, play around with these incredible ingredients? I know you mentioned bakuchiol, which for those who don't know, that's a safe plant alternative to retinol. And it's fantastic if you have sensitive skin. So yeah, I would love to know, what is that process like? Like, what inspires you all to just continue to create?
I would say the biggest inspiration is our customers and our fans. And especially one of the things I constantly do is when I exercise in the morning, or if I do it at night, trying to exercise every day as part of health, I'll go in and I'll read through every single NPS score feedback. That's when you visit our site and you check out, we ask, how likely are you to refer this to a friend? Any comments you want to send? And they send in. And I intentionally read the promoters and the detractors. I read the detractors first. That is not so inspiring to keep going because it shows you the things that are wrong. But it tells me where to focus, because it's a lot of those things will be like the shipping issues, or we are out of stock on products. So it shows us our operational things we need to fix. And then I read the good ones. And when you read the good ones, it's all about the formulas. They love this formula. This is their holy grail. Or by the coffee bean eye cream. You guys can never discontinue that, or the foundation, or whatever it is. It's great to see such kindness and such support from the customers that you want to do more for them. And then sometimes we'll share when it comes through to customer support and we get raving emails, those get shared as well with myself. And I read those, and those are very inspiring to keep going.
Yeah, no, definitely 100% Pure's customers are very vocal, which you want as a brand, because you want to know where you're doing well and where you need to improve. So keep those messages coming in, everyone. We want to hear everything that you like and everything that, you know, you think we can improve. Please send them our way. So I'd love to know, how do you see the clean beauty industry evolving over the next 5 years, 10 years? And where does 100% Pure fit into that landscape?
Great question. There's going to be a lot of changes in the next 5 to 10 years. One is, you have, on the one hand, you have legislation that has come through or coming through, especially in California, the rest of the 50 states, not as much. But if California passes something, you have to follow it, because brands are not going to ignore the California market. So that is helping to clean up the industry. It is adding additional hurdles that brands have to get to. So it's making it, you might see less brands because of the additional regulation on the market, but it will be a cleaner industry altogether from the legislation, which is a good thing. And also it may impact the pricing too, because brands have to factor in all the pricing of that legislation. So in short, it's going to get cleaner, which is a good thing. And the other thing that will happen in the next 5 years is you're seeing this convergence of a lot of technologies together. Like right now we have this, it's all over the media about the AI, rise of AI, because there's some things that are hitting the general public that you can use to test out the AI. So that's going to help things move a lot quicker. And then you also have another technology on the rise, is robotics. And I actually am most excited about the robotics for our industry, because that is going to make our manufacturing in a way where we can make even cleaner and take things up to the next level in clean beauty. There's going to be a new level of clean and personalization that we're going to take part of and we're leaning into. I can't tell you too much right now, but that has me really excited. That'll be the next 5 years. 10 years, hopefully everything out there is clean and good for you. And it's about education as well. And with the rise of AI, I think we can do a better job educating as long as we can control any false information as well.
Right. That's very exciting. And I can envision some ideas, hopefully, that are in the works. I'm pausing for 1 second because I'll ask you one final thing. I'm not sure what I should ask. But did you read my note for that last question I asked? I put a note here, just a random thought to discuss the role that AI may play in the future of the beauty industry, but maybe not for this interview.
I didn't read your...
I honestly didn't even think that you would bring up AI, but I think it's such a great topic to eventually talk about as a full episode, maybe when there's like a lot more information to discuss surrounding it. But yeah, that's really cool.
Oh, I have another thing to add about how the industry is going to evolve too.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sure we'll edit this.
Yeah.
So there's one more way that the industry will evolve, and this is more with the technologies in sustainability. I believe that packaging will be printed on demand. So that's going to really help. You're not making the packaging somewhere else and using the fossil fuels or energy to move it. So packaging is going to get much more sustainable in the future.
Incredible. Okay, so I was going to say, like, final thoughts, maybe not a final question. Like, is there anything that you would like to add or any? Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say in terms of final thoughts, it's just most important that consumers are aware of what they're putting in and on their bodies. You have one life on this planet, and you really want to make the best of it and live the healthiest, happiest life possible. And the products you use, the companies you put your faith into and open your wallets to, it's really important that you make those decisions well. So educate yourself is extremely important. We're trying to do our part to provide material to help in that path.
Well, there you have it, folks. Some sound advice from the CEO and co-founder of 100% Pure, Mr. Richard Kostick. Thank you so much for joining us. That was a really fun conversation. Great stories, great advice, really valuable information that I'm sure everyone listening can really, really appreciate. As we mentioned, we spoke a lot about some of our favorite products, some really, really great products. We'll include those links. We'll include some blog articles for you guys to read and educate yourselves some more. Please take a browse of their website. Richard mentioned the ingredient glossary, which is super informative. You can see all the ingredients that are in 100% Pure's products, and you can educate yourself even more. So thank you for listening to episode number 3 of Pure Pod. My name is Ariel Cowie. Thank you so much for joining us, and I will see you next week with another fun topic and another even more amazing guest.
Thank you, Ariel.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Pure Pod. If you enjoyed listening, please like, subscribe, and drop us a review. I'd love to hear from you guys. Until next time.